What would you say is your impression of your time at Katy and the atmosphere at Katy while you were there in the early 60s and then again in the mid 60s? And we didn't even talk about KVOC much, but because you were there for a couple, 3 years as well.
Well, yes, like I've said, I think I hold the record for being fired the most times and rehired. Katy, you know, and I've worked at, Dave, I've worked at probably 20 radio stations. If I sat down and started making a list, I know Katy is the one that has my heart. Katy is the one that, seems to have an aura around it, unlike any other radio station I've ever been at. All of the people who worked there once upon a time, like me and you and Jody Linneman and all the guys out there, they still love Katy. There's still a special place in their heart for it. I don't know of any other radio station like that. I have no other radio station in my past like that that has such a grip on your heart as Katy did. Why is that? I don't know. It was fun to work there.
Was it basically the camaraderie between everybody?
There was great camaraderie. I mean,
it sounds like you were all a bunch of partiers.
Yeah, we were. Radio people and air people, anyway, in general, tend to be characters. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Katy had, down through the years that I was there, just the wildest bunch of characters, unlike any of the other radio stations I was ever at. When I was in high school here at NCHS, my journalism instructor worked at Katy. He was a part-time staffer.
Was that Shell?
George Shell.
Jolly George Shell.
Yeah. Whatever became of him?
Well, I believe Shirley said, Jolly George Shell, a teacher from NCHS. George was killed in a car accident driving to the lake too fast in a VW Bug in high Wyoming winds, which flipped.
When? What year?
In the early 60s.
Oh, no. Huh.
But then did you also work with Pat Donahue?
I certainly know the name, so I probably did.
Yeah. Well, she talks about Pat Donahue, Hugh Barr, and Jolly George Shell. And
George was a sweet man. He was a nice guy, unique among my high school teachers, and that I liked him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that.
What haven't I asked you that I probably should have?
Oh, that's
a good radio question.
That is a, yeah, that's an interviewer's, that's an interviewer's standby.
I mean, in your career, which was long and.
Well, let me just volunteer something that I don't know how it would have been best for you to bring out, but it's something that I feel like I should say. I've already admitted that I never took radio that seriously. I was always kind of looking for an orchid while I was searching for a rose. And I regret that. I deeply regret that now. I realize now what a privilege it was for me to have been in radio, to have started as a kid and a box boy in Billings, Montana, and ended up in Los Angeles. I heard an interview with Dick Clark one time. He said that when he was a kid, long before he was ever in broadcasting, he was walking through a mall with his mother, holding her hand, and he looked in this big plate glass window and he saw a guy sitting at a desk with a microphone, and they were broadcasting from in there. Dick Clark said, I was hypnotized. He said, I went up to that window and I pressed my nose against the glass, and he said, I knew immediately that was what I wanted to do. And he said, I did that. And he said, I have loved it every day after, since then. I've loved it. I love it as much now as I did then. He said, I'm in as much awe of it now as I was then. The reason I bring that up is, I wish I could say that. I wish I had said that. I wish I had had the sense that Dick Clark did to recognize that, because I just fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
I just fell into radio, and I never appreciated it. Hence all the firings and the departures and different radio stations. Guys I knew like Carl Mann, Carl and Mike Wilson too, probably only worked for five stations total, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, I've got like scores of them behind me. I'm like the old drunk everybody knew, except I wasn't drunk. I was just irresponsible. And so what do I wish you would ask me? Well, I wish I had, if I were you, I would have asked something that brought that out, you know. So you've worked that many radio stations. Do you have any regrets, you know? What do you feel you did wrong, you know? That kind of a question. Because now that I'm old and contemplative, I think about these things, and I have my regrets. As one of my characters says in Widowmaker, man, if I didn't have regrets, I wouldn't have anything at all.
Yeah, but the other side of that coin is, did you ever make a turn that you regret later, whether it was law enforcement or, I mean, you were obviously very good at all of the things that you did. What was that one turn that you didn't make, or that one station that offered you a job that you didn't take, or were there any avenues that you didn't take that
yeah,
you should have?
Yeah, one comes to mind. One road untraveled kind of haunts me. When I was in Billings with J. Michael Wilson, the manager of the station was a guy named Ralph Petty. And I didn't like Ralph Petty much, and Ralph Petty didn't really like me much. Ralph left Cook, and he went to San Antonio, became the general manager of a big rock station in San Antonio. And I got a letter from Ralph one day offering me a job. Basically, he said, don't think I like you because I don't, but I would like to put you on the staff. And I didn't do it, largely because I just really didn't like Ralph that much.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Ralph goes from San Antonio to, I think, KFI in Los Angeles, and he becomes the general manager of KFI. So it would have been a real good career move for me to have taken Ralph's offer and gone to San Antonio, but I didn't do it. So that's one of my little radio regrets.
Final comments.
Love radio. I love radio. I always have. At least Dick Clark and I have that in common. I'm sad to see what's happened to radio. It is a shadow of its former self, if even that can be said. I love radio so much that now I have to have Sirius XM in all of my vehicles mm-hmm. and in my house. It's the only way I can listen to radio now. They have so totally ruined it. You know, one time earlier, I was more of a libertarian than I am now, and I believed that everything should be deregulated. And the coming deregulation of broadcasting, which I saw as inevitable, I was going to be a very good thing. Well, I was right that it was inevitable, but I was wrong that it was a good thing, because they have totally ruined that business that I love. They have ruined it. Every radio station in America is now owned by one of seven gigantic corporations. You know, Billings, Montana is about a 34-station market now. There's only one that's locally owned and operated. Only one.
27 in Casper.
Yeah. How many are locally owned and operated?
Five, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Well, they've ruined the industry I love, and I guess that's my final word.
Best of luck to you and Cole and all of your characters in your books. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you for your great times in radio.
My best to you, dude. And I am so grateful, like so many others are out there, that you're doing this with your website and that you're keeping that Katie torch burning. Because we do love it, man. We do love it.